Okay, I appreciate Rabbi Ifra for asking me to give you the shmooze. He asked if we can give a shmooze about Shmiras Hastar and keeping the full Seder, learning the entire time, and especially coming on time, starting the Seder on time. He wasn't just referring to first Seder, morning Seder, he's referring to second Seder, and night Seder too, and Friday Seder, and Shabbos Darm. So that'll be the main topic and idea of the shmooze that we're going to talk about. The last time I spoke to you as a group, Shana Bet together, it was that when everybody first came, not Ronen, not Tzvi, but 56 days passed since then, and there's 78 days until January 1st. 78 days until January 1st, and 170 days until Pesach break. But there's only 78 days until January 1st. The Gemara in Brachos compares the Yetzirah to a zvuv, to a fly. The Chafetz Chaim says, why is the Yetzirah compared to a fly? And he says, because a fly, he never gives up. He keeps on coming, he's coming back to you. You think like, you know, you did a good number on him, comes right back. He nothing makes the fly give up. Not only that, every time he comes back with the same energy he came the first time around. The 100th time that he's bothering you, after a month of you're like giving him a hard time and every day he's coming to him, he still comes with the same excitement and freshness of his as he came the very first time. That's the Yetzirah. So sometimes we have this perspective that we got rid of the Yetzirah, all the things I did in Shana Aleph, they're gone. And now, you know, we're good. We're not doing... The Yetzirah keeps it coming back as a fly, and it doesn't stop. And if the standards that we're holding ourselves to are Shana Aleph standards, so then we're going to fall extremely short, way below where what we really should be expecting of ourselves. And even though they're the rove and they're the majority, but we can't be looking at them or allowing that atmosphere to affect us. And that's on every level, and including in terms of when Seder starts and how we use our Seder from beginning to end. There's a story that Yaakov Galinsky used to say when he grew up in Krynik, long, long time ago, 100 years ago. And at Krynik he said that there used to be an old man in his 90s in the community that would learn with tremendous hasmada in the shul all the time. And it was like a rare thing for him to see somebody in his 90s, in this little village, little shtetl somewhere, learning with so much hasmada, his head always in a sefer. And the kids asked him, you know, how'd you get like that? What made you become like that? So he said, gather all the kids around and I'll tell you a story. This is what Yaakov was doing. He was young, 100 years ago, so he had the story from this guy in his 90s. So he said, when I was young, this old man said, I went to the Volozhin Yeshiva when the Nitziv and the Beis HaLevi were the Rashi Yeshiva over there at the time. And when I first came to Yeshiva, so I was very good at learning. I had a very good head. I was sharp. But I didn't have a smud at all. It was very hard for me to sit, very hard for me to concentrate and shear. I would usually be daydreaming, staring into space, coloring pictures, doodling, whatever it was. And the Beis HaLevi never gave me Mustafa, he never gave me Taha, he was patient, and he let that go on. But then I started going around and talking to different chavrusas that were sitting in the Beis Midrash, schmoozing with them and things like that. And then the Beis HaLevi called me over, and he said, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to you that you're trying to kick him out? Why are you kicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the room? What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to you? Leave him alone. Why are you kicking HaKadosh Baruch Hu out? And he didn't understand what he's talking about. Like, I'm not that bad. Like, I'm a good boy. I'm just schmoozing a little bit. So he said, you don't know the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Chalafta Ish Kfar Chananya Omer Asara Shiyoshvin Va'oskin B'Torah Shechina Shruya B'Neihem. And then it continues and it says also Shnayim Shiyoshvin B'Neihem V'Yish Minayim Afilu Shnayim Shnayimar Az Nidbru Yirei Hashem Yishorei V'Yakshev Hashem V'Yishma. Then when two people are sitting and learning, the Shechina Shruya B'Neihem. So, okay, you're not learning, you're daydreaming. But the Shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is residing by that chavrusa over there. You come over, you break up their learning, you're kicking the Shechina away. You go over to the next chavrusa, you're kicking the Shechina away from over there too. The Gemara in Brachos says like this, in the morning, and in Mincha and Amar also, there's Amar Bichaba, Amar Huna. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Vav Amid Beis, B'shah Shekadosh Baruch Hu Ba B'Veis HaKnesses, V'lo Matza Ba'asara, Miyad Hu Koes. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to the shul, and he sees that there's not a minyan, there's no 10 people there, he immediately gets angry. So the Marsha says, why specifically when he comes to shul and he sees that there's no minyan there, he gets angry? So Moshe says, well, we see in the Gemara in Vav Amud Aleph, we quote this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that says that when there's 10 people there, the Shekhinah is there. When there's 2 people there, the Shekhinah is there. So what's the benefit of 10 people over 2 people? So the Gemara answers that by 10 people, the Shekhinah is there before them, because he knows that they're coming. And by 2 people, the Shekhinah comes once they start to learn. But when there's 10 people learning the Shekhinah, or davening, the Shekhinah is there already from before. The Gemara in Brachos is talking about 10 people for a minyan. But the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Asara Yoshin Ve'oskin B'Torah. And it's the same answer to the question. In other words, what, if the Shekhinah is by 10 people and the Shekhinah is by 2 people, what's the difference? And the answer the Gemara gives that applies both to 10 people learning and to 10 people coming to davening is that the Shekhinah comes there already from before. So he knows what time davening starts. He knows what time Seder starts. So he's getting there earlier. That's the benefit of when 10 people are together. He's there and they're not there when the Seder starts or when the minyan starts. So he's koes. You dragged me here, and now you're not even coming. A person has to remind ourselves that our actions are measured up against each other. And we have to watch how we are, let's say, at the end of a Seder when we have to run down to lunch. How quickly is it between the time that lunch starts and we're already at lunch? If it's a minute before, if it's the minute that it starts. Or if we have a game and craft, how early or late or exactly on time are we to a game of craft or to our league's game over there? And hold ourselves at least, to the same standards when it comes to the beginning of any one of the starim or any one of the tefillos. It shouldn't be that there's a tain on us in Shemayim that says, look how perfectly on time you were all the time when it came to your league game or craft game or your course in college a year or two later, how you weren't late to that ever when you had a date or whatever it is. But when the Shekhinah was waiting for you when you came, look at how important that was to you. Our Torah is as valuable as the value that we treat it with. And the schar that we get in Shemayim is also parallel, the Sfarim say, to the value that we showed for it beforehand. If you knew that if you come on time, somebody's there ready to hand you $100, there's no way you would miss it. $100 cash, right? When you come, we know that when we do the Yeshivas Mordechai and per night for 1 hour, right, to keep guys from just pre-gaming in the dorm and showing up horrible to the party. So and the learning on Purim is huge and holy. So all they have to give out, I think it's 50 shekel. 50 shekel. Unbelievable, perfect learning from beginning of the Seder exactly to the end. People don't stop early. People don't. They do that full hour for the 50 shekel. So if a person would run for 50 shekel, somebody's handing it out for that. But for Seder, he would ease mosey in later on. That means to you, Torah is not even worth 50 shekel. To me, Torah is not even worth 50 shekel if that's how we treat it. And we're hurting ourselves. We're learning anyway. We're going to be learning anyway. Let our learning be that much more valuable according to the way that we treat it. There's a by Yeshua Binun, the first one to receive the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, the first Talmud. How to be a Talmud. We look at Yeshua Binun. So one of the things you see about Yeshua Binun, besides cleaning the bays, organizing the chairs, putting the Sfarim back. So we see another quality we see by Yeshua Binun. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, V'yomar Hashem Moshe, Ale Elai Ha-Hara, V'yayesh Sham, V'analach HaZluchos Ha-Evan, fine, V'yakam Moshe, V'yoshua Misharso, V'ya'am Moshe El Har Elokim. So Moshe got up in Yeshua Misharso, and Moshe went up to Har Elokim. What's Yeshua Binun doing over there, thrown in the middle of the Pasuk? This is Moshe has to go up to Har Sinai. Why does it say that Yeshua was there? What? So Rashi says, I don't know what's Yeshua doing over here in the Pasuk. He said, Lo yadati mativo she Yeshua kan. V'omer ani shayatamin malav l'rav ad makum hagbalas tchumei ahar. Rashi explains that Yeshua ben Nun didn't want to lose 1 second with Moshe Rabbeinu. He continued with him up until the fence where you have to stop by Har Sinai. And not only that, he knows Moshe Rabbeinu is not supposed to come down for another 40 days. He didn't go out and spend the next 38, 39 days with Bnei Israel and then go back. He didn't leave that spot. He planted his tent right there, says Rashi. He'd be the first one to see Moshe to get that extra few minutes of Torah immediately and not have to wait any longer. That's the way a Talmud is supposed to learn from his Rebbe. That's the way a person is supposed to approach the Torah. And that's how we're supposed to go to every single Seder, waiting for it that we shouldn't even miss a second of it. Somebody is giving out not $100, not 50 shekel, not unlimited, more than anything this world has to offer. That minute, we don't come late to it, and we're not mezalzel, and definitely we shouldn't treat it less than a league's game. The Chafetz Chaim has a Lashon, and Sefer Shmiras HaLashon, so there's a section, Shar HaTorah, where he talks about Limud HaTorah. And I'm going to quote you, it says like this, Im HaKfiyah Shalo Hi B'tmidus, if somebody's Kfiyas in Torah is constant, it's always exactly the same. Every day he's there at 9:15, rain or shine, no matter how he feels, what his head is feeling, whatever, he's always there exactly 9:15, nothing gets in the way. If there's a bris somehow, he's still there at 9:15. Whatever, he's always there constantly. Im ha-kfiyah shalo hi b'tmidus, kedusha gedola v'nora'a shora akol limud v'limud. If a person's learning is always exactly the same time, then this is the Chafetz Chaim. Kedusha gedola v'nora'a shora akol limud v'limud. He just upgraded every one of his chavrusas and learning periods. He shot it up to Shemayim in his spaceship. There's some extra level, high level kedusha that's residing on it. Rav Kodetsky, of Chaim Kanievsky's son-in-law, once came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. He told him a story. He was trying to show the special siyat and deshmaya that the Chafetz Chaim had in his Torah learning. And one day the Chafetz Chaim was in Vilna. Often he would have to go there to speak or to meet with the Rabbanim. And he was waiting for the train to leave. A lot of people were lined up for brachos and to ask him for advice. And it was holding him back. And the train left. And he missed the train. But the Chafetz Chaim was in a rush to get back to learning, get back to writing the Mishnah Berurah. And he went to the train station. The next train was not supposed to be for another like 6 hours, 8 hours. And suddenly another train pulled up. And the next day in the newspapers, basically it came out that the first train that left made a mistake, the one that was going to Radin. And it made a wrong turn. It went a wrong way. It was going in the wrong direction. So the train had to somehow go around. They had to send another train to leave again. And about 8-9 minutes later than that first train. What really happened in Shemayim? The Chafetz Chaim's Torah learning is so valuable, so that valuable. Kadosh Baruch Hu rearranged things to make sure that, okay, now there'll be a train for him to take him to Radin. So if Kodetsky told us of Chaim Kanievsky, and he said, I know the story, he said, but why say it on the Chafetz Chaim? It's true about every single person. Anybody that's koveya in their learning, they're set all the time, they will find special siyata deshmaya in that time of learning, both that it should happen and they should be able to keep to it. If he's being most nefesh that should work, then he'll see min ha-shamayim, a lot of siyata deshmaya to help make it work. And he gave an example about himself, how when he used to have to, when he was at a certain stage, he had really barely any money, couldn't afford an alarm clock, but he needed a nap during Benas Darim. During the lunch break, he needed to take a certain amount of nap. He would wake up at 2:30 in the morning, daven and learn, and basikin and keep on learning. He needed a nap at some point during the day because he didn't go to sleep until 10:30 at night. So, but he didn't have an alarm clock. So he davened to Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should wake up on time at 3:30, and every day a fly would come and zzz, his fly wasn't the Yitzhar, it was a Siad Deshmaya fly. And it was always going to him every single day, exactly. He used to wake up from him. So you see, everybody has Siad Deshmaya when they want to be Kovei Itim. Okay, that's Rav Chaim Kanievsky. But he's saying that it applies to everybody. It doesn't just apply to him. There's a story that happened around 50 or so years ago in the Shul Divrei Shir in Bnei Brak, which I think we'll be in, the Shul Divrei Shir. Famous story that went around Bnei Brak a lot that time, and they still tell it to today, where there was a Shir going on in Daf Yomi, and there was an old man that used to go to this Daf Yomi all the time. And one day he was just so sick and not well, as a high temperature, he couldn't get out of his bed. And usually he did everything, Mosa Nefesh, to get that chair. He just literally couldn't. So he sat in his home, and he was Mosa Nefesh to at least learn at the same time that same daf of Gemara. And in the middle, while he was learning, he got stuck on a certain question. And then he was trying to figure out, and then in his weakness and his sad state, he just fell asleep. And he had a dream. And in the dream, he saw somebody with tremendous hajus panim, like a face, a holy, holy face, and said, what's wrong? What don't you understand in the Gemara? And he said his question, and he started to explain to him the entire Gemara very clearly. At the end of the dream, he said to him, who are you? And he said, the Rashba. And then he woke up. The next day, the Magid Sheir came to visit him because he heard this very old man was sick. And he told him the dream that he had and how he had a dream, and the Rashba explained the Gemara so perfectly. And the Rav said, what time did that happen? So he said, around 8:30. He said, you should know, in our Shir, around 8:30, I said that question and I said over the Rashba in Shir. And because you're Mosa Nefesh every day, never to miss this Seder, this Shir, so you have special Ziyad Deshmaya that you wouldn't miss anything, not even the Pshat and the Rashba that we said over. A regular old man, not a regular, the Daf Yomi every day. Rav Galai told us about his father, how his father was a very sick and not well man. His back, a terrible backache, hard to move, his legs hurt. What hurt him the most is that it disturbed him from his learning. And he begged Hashem, he said, daven with tears, say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it that at least while I'm learning, I don't feel any pain. So at least my learning, what am I here for? I'm here to learn in this world. That's why you're keeping me alive. At least when I'm learning, don't let anything hurt me. And he said you would see his father in agonizing pain, and then when he would learn, all of a sudden, the pains would go away. Right when he would stop, ow, ow, ow. And the same thing they say about Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv had a horrible back. His back was terribly painful. They sent x-rays and whatever to this top doctor in America, flew him in to come take care of and see Rav Yashiv and see what he could do about his back. I guess many, many years. He used to stand while he's learning. For many, many decades, he would stand while he's learning. Then as he got to old age, I don't know for him what old age was, the 80s, 90s, then he started to sit, bend over. So the doctor comes in and says, where is the man that you're talking about? He said, there, him. He said, no, I can't be. Rav Yashiv was going like this. He said, somebody with the x-ray that I saw can't do that. That's not possible. He should be screaming and writhing in pain. So he said, no, you should. Whenever he's learning, this is what it's like. He gets up and all of a sudden, he's in tremendous pain. That's special siyat d'shmai, when somebody is mosa nefesh for their kfiyus, for their learning, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects them in special ways. There's more examples of that, but I want to get a few more things in. Dor Mabel, we just learned about. We see people lived 500 years, 700 years, 900 years, 800 years. Meaning, human beings were meant to live that long. For the first third of human history, that's how long people lived. The Mabel happened already almost a third of the time into human history. Suddenly, after the Mabel, people are living a little bit shorter. Not if you were born before the Mabel, but those afterwards, shorter and shorter. So now we hope for 120. That's considered a long life. What happened? The idea is that when somebody had such a long life ahead of them, so they didn't give so much value to their life enough because they had such a long time. And look what happened to Dor Mabel. They weren't make use of their time in the right way. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made life shorter to do a chesed to us that we should try to use every single minute, every single hour, every single day more to the fullest because life does go very fast. Speak to the Rebbeim here who is still mid-age, let's say. But they'll tell you, I literally feel like it was yesterday that I was like you. Jump mid-age, talk to your grandparents, they feel like it was just yesterday that they were made. It just goes so fast. HaKadosh Baruch Hu at least did it in a way to make it easier for us to see how life is fast going by. So at least let's catch on to that and focus it on that way. A mashal I heard given, the way that we should look at time, by Meir Greinemann. He said that time is like, picture a lot of bottles going through a factory, one of these machines. How the bottles go through and every bottle gets filled up with what it's supposed to get filled up with. Gets what it's supposed to be filled up with. Every minute is like a bottle. You fill it up, that bottle has what you filled it up with. You don't fill it up, it will forever, eternally be empty. That's what we have to look at every minute that's going by us. What am I going to fill this minute up? We have a set amount of minutes we're going to live for. We don't know how many there are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. We know a limit of how much around the most it could be. And we have to fill up every one of those minutes and look at our minutes in that kind of a way. Not to let them waste away and fall quickly by. The Rambam says on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the fourth parak, on the Mishnah, Huya Omer Yafasha Achas Betshuva Maisim Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh Kechai Olam Haba. So the Rambam says that a person's life is short, and whatever he doesn't accomplish in it, he'll forever never have for eternity. So he says, Chachamim and Tzaddikim value their time tremendously. They're very nervous and very worried about their time. They're super protective about their seconds and about their minutes, measuring them to make sure that they don't go to waste, because they understand and they realize that it's not going to come back to them. There's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Avos on the Mishnah, Mar B'Torah, Mar B'Chayim. Somebody is Marba in Torah and Lima Torah, so they're given a lot of chayim, a lot of life. So the Rabbeinu Yonah, first of all, he says, this is keneged what it says earlier in the Mishnah. Marba nechasim, marba daiga. Somebody that has a lot of money has a lot of worry to protect his money. However, when it comes to Torah, marba Torah, the opposite. It doesn't give him daiga, it gives him chayim. It gives him long life and energy and chizuk. So first of all, one thing that I thought you could say from here, if he's saying one is connected to the other, is that the same way that somebody who loves money values his money, so too the tzaddikim value their time. And there's a lot of stories you see that it's hard for them to separate from their time. There was once somebody flew in from America because he wanted to go to Rav Yashiv and get a bracha or get an eitzah, and he went into Rav Yashiv. And he asked Rav Yashiv, I flew in from America to be able to speak to the Rav. Could I have 5 minutes with the Rav? Because usually it's going fast, the line. Could I have 5 minutes with the Rav? So the Rav said, I can't give you five, I can give you three. So he was like, so he asked what he had to, he got whatever answer. He came back home and he said, I got the biggest mushar shmuz in my life. I spoke to Rav Yashiv for 3 minutes. So what could he say in three? What did you learn in 3 minutes? He said, I learned the value of 2 minutes. The 2 minutes of Yashiv said that he couldn't give to him. In Offer the Boss, whoever read it, you're lucky. In Offer the Boss, the story about Rav Scheinberg, Rav Chaim Perez Scheinberg, where Ruchama Shein, who wrote the book, she went to him and asked, when her husband passed away, he asked, if could you learn the Ilo Nishmas, my husband, every day for a half an hour, for a month or so. So she said, all of a sudden, his face became pale as a ghost, and he was like terrified and in shock. He didn't know what to say to her request. Here she's an amana, her husband passed away. He's asking to learn for her husband. He said, I can't. I can't. I can't. And so she said, please, please. So he was thinking. He said, I could learn every day for 5 minutes for him. Because for him, he was learning all day long. This is taking out of his time to learn the Ilui Nishma as her husband. I could take out 5 minutes. So she was happy, she started to walk out, and then he called her back. He said, you should know that if somebody would come into me right now and offer me $1 million for 5 of my minutes, I wouldn't take it. If it's $1 million for 5 of my minutes, I wouldn't take it. What I'm giving to him right now, you should know, is very, very valuable to me. Afterwards, it's a great question. But that's the type of value that we need to train ourselves to be able to have for Torah. They had it because they worked in it, because they treated it that way. And when you treat it that way, then you gain it that way. If you treat it less than we'll treat a league's game, then in our eyes it'll be less than a league's game. If we treat it like we treat an important business meeting discussing $1 million, but for sure you come on time, then slowly we'll have that appreciation towards it. Anybody here who once cursed and then stopped remembers that at first cursing was cheap to them and it was hard to stop. And now if they would say a curse word or they would hear a curse word, it would bother them a lot. Why? It always should have bothered you. Because until you get yourself used to it, you don't appreciate what it actually is in truth. The same thing with everything in life. We have to accustom ourselves. You treat it that way and you train yourself to give it and see it as having the proper value. Do I have more time? I should.
Two minutes.
See what can I get in 2 minutes. What don't I? Okay, so I'm gonna skip some things, but there's a Gemara that the Gruss said that even Gemaras that the main pshat in them is the sod, is the secret, the Kabbalah that's behind it, they're still true even out pshat. They're still true even out pshat, even though there's a sod that's behind it. So there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and also found elsewhere. Amar Rabbi Levi, kala posik midivrei Torah ve'osek bedivrei sicha ma'achilin lo gechalei retamin. Anybody that in the middle of his learning he starts to talk about other things that aren't Torah related, he'll be fed boiling hot coals into his mouth for doing that. So even though, yeah, maybe there's Kabbalistic ideas behind this, but the Gra says it's also true up Pipshuto. So why am I saying, not just to scare us, but if a person sometimes visualizing things helps us to really take it seriously. And Rav Meir Grineman, who I heard say over this Gemara, he said a person should visualize to himself when you're learning and you're considering maybe starting to talk about your Shabbos plans or whatever, how you get into Rav Zinkin's bris or whatever it is. So picture to yourself that at that moment somebody's about to stick a hot boiling coal on your tongue if you go in that direction. Because you might not see it now, but literally it is that way. So that's a visualization skill that we could train ourselves to also treat breaking up Torah learning with the right approach. And there's another chazal that says, Kala Yashin Bebesa Midrash Toroso Nase Slo Kraim. Not just falling asleep. Anything, kavachomer, any type, other type of stopping, it's like your Torah turns into tears and rips. So the Chavetz Chaim says that every time we're learning, we're preparing a garment for ourselves to stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu with after 120 years. And these tears and rips and holes in the garment that will be in that garment that we're going to be wearing, standing in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at our Torah learning. It's very beautiful all around, but we'll be able to see and be embarrassed from the holes that are in our garment. There's a story from Avadi Yosef. Does that count towards 2 minutes?
No, no.
Okay, so we'll stop over here.
No, I meant like it doesn't count.
Oh, it doesn't count. Oh, I could say it. Okay, Avadi Yosef. Okay, so it was just Avadi Yosef's yahrzeit on Erev Shabbos. And you could spend more than a week talking about Avadi Yosef all day long. And I'm sure during his Shiva and Shloshim, so many stories. Avadi Yosef says a pshat in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He tells a story that I'm choshed, and Rabbi Yefra will tell me if he's also choshed, there's a man, that it's about himself. But he doesn't say that. He just says, I'll tell you what the story is. The Mishnah is going on, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Hamahalech Baderech Vishoneh. What a beautiful, we have the best view in Yerushalayim, if they're in the middle of learning, well, and they stop and say, well, look at our view. So Ravadi Yosef, on that Mishnah in Anaf Eitz Avos, brings down a story that he says that there was a guy that used to say all of Sefer Tehillim every day. And one day, while he was saying Sefer Tehillim, some people came to talk to him. And for whatever reason, he stopped in the middle of saying Tehillim and answered their questions. And sometimes he stopped even in the middle of Sukkim. And at one point in the conversation, he even got angry. But he would keep on going back, saying some more, stopping, answering the question, going back, saying Tehillim. So that night, he had a dream. Or that day, in the nap, he had a dream. Where he was standing in Shemayim, and bathed in Shemala, and there was two white malachim on one side, and they were holding a Sefer Tehillim, and they were showing to him the Sefer Tehillim. And in the middle of Sefer Tehillim, mixed into all the words, was all the words that he said. Like imagine you're looking at a puzzle, it says, Mizmor Shir, yeah, what time are you going to this? What time? The Yom HaShabbos, I'm going over there. And it was mixed in as if it's part of the Mizmor. And whatever parts he had gotten angry or frustrated at, there was a picture of an Avodah Zarah in the middle. It's called Koeski Lu'ovid Avodah Zarah. And it was mixed into the Sefer Tehillim. And the Malachim asked him, do you want us to bring this to Tehillim, to the Kisei HaKava? You want us to present this to Tehillim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He said, no, please, don't, I don't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see that, don't bring it up there. And the two dark Malachim, not their skin, but their clothing, they started chasing after the Sefer Tehillim, and they got it, and they started to fly up to the Kisei HaKavod to bring that Tehillim with all the Dvarim B'Tehillim mixed into it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he woke up, and he was so bothered, he was so upset, he ran to the Chacham. It's I am choshed, it's him, because he knows too many details about the story. He ran to the Chacham, and he told the Chacham, what do I do, I just had this dream. So the Chacham said, He said that I see that you're very bothered and you're very upset. So you have to be chozer b'tshuva and doing that. You have to feel bad. Stand up on your feet and admit in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that from now on you will never stop in the middle of your learning, in the middle of your reading Tehillim, and say b'peh maleh nichamti shalosh pa'am 3 times to show that you really regret it. Nichamti, I regret it, I regret it, I regret it. And he took it upon himself. He would never stop again in the middle of learning. He went back home that night, he had a dream where the malachim wearing white chased after the Malachim wearing black, a great end to the story, Ravadi says this, and grabbed the Sefer Tehillim back out of their hands and brought it back down. He woke up, he realized that his tshuva was accepted. If that's true about reading Tehillim, Kal Vachomer, that's true about our own chavrusas being repeated back to us. It's all being sent up to Shamayim. With the picture, all of our starim, all of our chavrusas, when they started, when they ended, and what happened throughout it, being presented up to Shamayim. And if we're being mevatel, at least not to mevatel our friend, and not to chase the Shechina out of our Beis Midrash. And Amir Hashem, if we create such an atmosphere in the base to whatever extent that we could, so that will be contagious to our Shana Aleph fellow friends. Shkai.